And now we change paces. We always do. I should mention that was our very own local singer, Leanne Patrick, with the old Plank Bridge. I must find out whether that's just a story, a song that was written, or whether her grandfather and that was involved in here. I must ask her one day. But anyway, being the first, the first Wednesday of the month, I've got a private investigator, Peter from Absolute Facts, with us. So, first of all, welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you, mate. Now, I'm just trying to look where I wrote down the questions we sent you away with last time, but I can't find. Do you know what it was, Peter?
Yeah, you sent me a nice curly one, actually. It was identifying the top 10 scams that are around at the moment.
Yes, yes.
And that's resulted in a plethora, to say the least, of information that's come forward.
Yep.
So I've got quite a lot of intel to go through.
Well, that's good.
I've not specifically identified the top 10 scams, but I've got plenty of updates in respect to what's hot at the moment, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Yep.
So basically it starts off with the headline for this particular part one is scammers rip off Australians to the tune of $2 billion, according to the ACCC. And one of the examples that they bring up is a gentleman who was enjoying an overseas holiday when he found out he had been scammed out of $50,000.
Ooh.
So what happened was his stockbroking firm delivered the bad news to him in mid-January, presumably when he got back. The Sydney retiree was in disbelief when he was told a junior worker had sold his entire share portfolio and deposited the proceeds into a bank account that wasn't his. The staff member was apparently fooled by emails impersonating the client. They got an email purporting to be from me, and they changed my bank account details without any further verification.
Gee.
So new figures released today show scam losses are increasing. Australians lost $2.18 billion to scams in 2025, according to the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC, and noting that the top five type of scams were responsible for 60% of the losses.
Gee.
And that was broken down into investment scams, which I guess not necessarily the one above, responsible for $837.7 million in losses. Payment redirection scams, that's probably this one, for $166.8 million. Romance scams, Alan, which apparently you assure me you haven't fallen for.
No, not me.
$139.9
million.
Gee. Phishing scams with a PH, of course, $97.6 million. And remote access scams, $69.9 million.
They're big figures, Peter, aren't they?
Yeah, so that's the top five. And, of course, consumer advocates are pointing out that it's actually the public who continue to bear the brunt of scam losses because blaming the Albanese government scam laws are not yet operational, even though they have been passed in Parliament. So we pop back to our retiree who inherited his shares from his late mother, a portfolio that included household names such as Telstra, Coles, National Australia Bank and BHP.
Mm-hmm.
He initially shocked and angry, but reassured by the stockbroking firm who said they would cover the entire loss. However, the Brisbane-based firm then backtracked, resulting in a lengthy legal dispute. In the beginning, they were very apologetic, saying to their client, it's a terrible thing, very disappointing. Of course, we're going to stand behind you. We have insurance. And then they started backpedaling, leaving him feeling quite betrayed and basically saying the stockbroking firm did not follow the industry best practices. And before the scam emails, the retiree had in fact changed his bank details at some point, but had done that in person at the firm's office.
Yeah.
And then he's adding, so this time around, the firm never spoke to him to confirm the share sales or the new bank account, which is a violation according to the corporate watchdog ASIC.
So, I mean, a retiree, he's got no option. He's never going to get, he's got no way of getting the 50 grand back working it. If he's retired, he's retired, isn't he?
Yeah, well, and I guess, yeah, what does he have to go back to work to reinstate his money? Mm-hmm. Anyway, the plot thickens. He basically saying he assumed that they would follow ASIC protocols, that they could be trusted, which turned out to not be the case. And, of course, he's gobsmacked about that. And 6 months earlier, the regulator had actually warned firms to lift their game after noticing an alarming sevenfold increase in share sale fraud over the previous 4 years. However, ASIC will not reveal the total losses over the 4 years, citing confidentiality. So, again, they don't want to let people know how big a problem it is. So back to our retiree, Alan.
Yep.
So he also questioned whether the stockbroking firm made other mistakes, such as not using payee confirmation technology to ensure the new bank account when his name was in his name before the money was paid, which is a good point. Mm-hmm. While the bank itself was able to recover $28,000 out of the $50,000, the retiree remained substantially out of pocket after incurring legal fees to try and force the stockbroker to replace his stock portfolio and cover his expenses. The stockbroker at one point agreed to buy back all the client shares and pay his legal fees following the publication of a News Corp story. Funny that, isn't it?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, a bit like when you appear on Current Affair all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Imagine how amazing how things seem to happen very quickly. Anyway, he has yet to receive either of those things. New South Wales police are investigating, but he's yet to identify those responsible. And the stockbroker has actually criticised the retiree for using a Hotmail account, saying it was unsafe. And his retort to that was that there was no evidence the email account had been compromised. So I don't know whether he's trying to say Hotmail because Hotmail's been around forever or whatever. I was quite intrigued by that, that it was they were trying to blame Hotmail.
Yeah.
So the stockbroker did not answer questions about whether it used payee confirmation technology or why it hadn't spoken to their client by phone before selling the shares and making the payment. The firm maintained it had robust procedures that had never previously failed.
There's always the first time.
I would take that one with a grain of salt. They include requiring signatures on instructions, as was supplied in this case, they claim, and that they added that the instructions had intimate and detailed knowledge of their client's portfolio. So basically, because they seemed to know what they were talking about, they accepted it. So they're shocked that their client has been exposed to a scam and continue to work with him to recover the losses. The stockbroker insisted it made unsuccessful attempts to contact the client by phone. However, the client notes that those calls were only made after the shares had been sold. And the firm has now commissioned an internal audit of its procedures.
Could have happened to others too.
So that was an interesting example that came out.
Peter, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more, mate.
You.
I'm talking to our private investigator, Peter from Absolute Facts. Sorry, Peter, I have to take a break. I'll have to take another one soon too. Some more ads have popped up. But let's keep moving as we're going along, mate.
Yeah, sure. So the next part of this particular article was the Deputy Chair of the ACCC, Katrina Lowe, who noted that scams are often described as a wicked problem because they are complex, fast-evolving and resistant to simple solutions. As Australia, indeed the world, faces increasing sophistication in scam activity through artificial intelligence and the industrialisation of criminal syndicates through scam compounds,
yep.
It is clear more needs to be done quickly and at scale. Gone are the days when scams were relatively unsophisticated and pretty easy to spot. These days, they can be very slick and very convincing. The consumer watchdog is also seeing examples where AI is used to make a romance or investment scam seem all the more convincing. They can create fake voices, they can create fake videos that appear very convincing and are completely fabricated. And they can engage in video discussions even.
Peter, we had, I don't know if I told you, I think it was the year before last, coming to Christmas, I was contacted by two ladies listeners who were, I think they're both widows, or one might have been divorced, one was a widow, and a guy actually sent them a video, and there was a guy there and saying how he thinks that, you know, we could move this along, and rah, 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 and how much he liked them, and all that jazz, and both of them nearly fell for it, and one of them actually said, look, I actually liked talking to him so much, I almost felt like sending some money just so he'd keep talking to me. So there are some very lonely people out there that they play on, which I think is absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Alan, with the world with the word loneliness. I think that's unfortunately quite an issue out there at times.
Yep.
So just to go back on the top five and the breakup and the change, which I know you're always interested in changes.
Yep.
So in respect to the highest one, which was the investment scam, that's actually from 2024 to 2025 actually dropped by 11.4%. The payment redirection scam, however, had gone up 9.3% in that period. Romance scams have dropped 10.8%.
Has it?
Phishing scams with a PH had gone up by 15.5%. And remote access is where I presume that means when people con their way into getting into your computer, they dropped 34.1% down to 69.9%. But that left the category called other, which obviously needs to be broken down a bit more. That had actually gone from 582.3 million in 2024 to 872.1. Yeah. So other is actually larger than the investment one at 837. So obviously at some stage they're going to have to break the other into what categories they actually are. And what they're saying is it was in 2023 when scam losses reached a record high of $3.1
billion,
which is quite, 50-odd percent higher than the $2 billion they're saying recently.
Yep.
And the government's promised world-first changes, passing new laws last February that made tech giants, telcos and the sending and receiving banks liable to repay victims who will face stiff penalties up to $50 million once the laws are in place.
But well, so, I don't know why they're not in place quicker than it. Why, I don't understand why it takes politicians so long to bring these rules in, to be honest.
Well, perhaps there might be some resistance for the people who might be forced to pay back or something like that. And under the changes, social media companies will be required to verify advertisers. Banks must confirm the identity of payees, and telcos must detect and stop scam texts and calls. Now, that's quite an interesting one, Alan, because I put a little post up on LinkedIn last week, I think it was, where I'd had one of my phone numbers had been contacted four times in 2 days, including on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, and they were all scam calls, identified as scam calls and identified as calls coming from what I call enablers, which are companies that provide bulk telephone numbers, if you like, or the and I'm just always wondering in the back of my mind why aren't they called out more often, but never mind. So mandatory codes for each sector have not yet been implemented, and it's unclear when they will be put in place, which of course is frustrating victims and consumer groups who want reimbursement and penalties put in place. So, and obviously the consumer watchdog is extremely keen to see the scam prevention framework brought into effect, and wondering why, as you just alluded to, why hasn't it happened?
Yeah, it seems an awful long while.
Yeah.
Once they're passed, you would have thought they'd just slip into operation pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, that, and obviously as time goes on, there's so many examples of people getting caught out and the cost. And the fact that, you know, no one's been actually made accountable for it, which I think would change things very quickly if people, you know, things, people like banks and, you know, online providers and things like that, if they were held liable and they had to repay, then I'm sure things would tighten up very quickly.
Peter, I've just got to go in half a tick, but it surprised me that the romance ones come down. I wonder if people are just becoming more aware or why they've gone down, to be honest.
Yeah, you'd like to think perhaps people are getting a little bit more educated, but, yeah, that's sitting third at $139 million, which is still a fair bit of money, isn't it, spent on fake romance, yeah.
All right, Peter, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. Set you on the treadmill, and they made you change your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. And I sexual, more than just our Marilyn Monroe.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 22 minutes to 2. Can't believe how quick the day goes when I'm here. And, of course, I'll be back Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and more. And then I'll be back on Sunday night with 6 and 8 with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. And, of course, coming up at 2 o'clock is Council Connections, and that'll be followed at 3 o'clock by Matt Shaw with Retro Radio. A lot of great old songs to come from Matt this afternoon. Sorry, Peter, back to you, Matt.
No worries, Alan. So dinner's on the table, the telly's going on in the background, and the phone rings.
Yep.
The voice at the other end, Alan, is clipped, authoritative, and wasting no time.
Yep.
There's an outstanding debt on your account, and if you don't act now, legal action is coming. Sound familiar?
Absolutely.
So for thousands of Australians, especially around tax time, it's a scenario that becomes a dreaded routine. But a new tool from the Australian Tax Office is changing the game, giving you a fast, reliable way to tell the real thing from a con.
Yeah.
All you have to do, Alan, is download an app, which I'm never that happy about. But anyway, apparently you can verify whether the call's legitimate or not through the app, and it takes less than 30 seconds and doesn't require you to hang up. So that's the ATO's defence mechanism that they're encouraging people to use. I'm not 100% sure about having to use an app, but anyway, that's
I'm a bit worried about that too.
that's their proposed solution. And with a quote saying, the launch of the app comes at a critical moment. Nearly 7,500 ATO impersonation scams reported in July 2025 alone, with activity expected to climb again as tax season kicks into gear. So we're May. So look forward to all those phone calls interrupting your dinner during July. So, and, you know, obviously that it obviously does work. It obviously catches people off guard. And if it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it.
Peter, the other one that I've had, and I think I've mentioned to you a few times, it happened again only a couple of weeks ago, some clown rings up and says they're from the FBI. So immediately they say the FBI, you know, that is a scam straight off, don't you?
Yeah, perhaps. Do you think you mean the AFP or the FBI?
No, they've actually said the FBI.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd probably just laugh at that one.
And I've just said it. I feel like saying, listen, you idiot, you're in the wrong country.
That's right, Hawaii 5-0. and so then the next section is, why do scammers target older Australians? So phone scams don't discriminate by age, but Australians aged 65 and over consistently lose more money to them than any other group, and it is nothing to do with being naive or out of touch. Right. Scammers deliberately target older Australians because many have spent a lifetime building up savings, super or property, and because their tactics are used to specifically designed to exploit the trust. So criminals do their homework. They come across as friendly, polished and well-informed. They create panic, pile on the pressure and push for fast decisions, all before you've had a moment to think straight or call someone you trust. So that's actually a really good, interesting comment, but also that if you are a little bit older and you have been caught out, you're not on your own, obviously, and it's nothing to do with senility. It's just more to do with the fact that you've been very cleverly targeted. And equally, I guess, the flip side is that if you are someone with some assets. You want to be super careful about responding to any kind of person asking for money in any way, shape or form, I guess.
I heard of someone the other day that got scammed, and they admitted they did a couple of silly things, and they said within 30 seconds or minute they realised they'd been scammed, and they went back to try and get their money out of the bank account, and it was gone within 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, that's highly sophisticated, which is what people are saying. So common ploys include claims that your internet connection has been compromised. Goodness me, I've had a few of those. Your NBN is being used for illegal activity, or that you owe a tax debt payable in iTunes gift cards. And yet, which sounds outlandish, but when delivered with enough confidence and urgency, it can feel alarmingly real. So the ATO impersonation scams, their warning signs are demanding immediate payment or threatening arrest.
Yep.
Requesting payment via gift cards or cryptocurrency, pressuring you to stay on the line, that's an interesting one as well. Asking for remote access to your computer, well, hopefully people these days are awake up to any of that. Using aggressive or intimidating language and calling from any number other than no caller ID. They're saying that genuine ATI calls will always display no caller ID.
Yep.
As opposed to, a random number that could be from anywhere.
Yep.
A real ATO call will always come from no caller ID. Any other number claiming to be the tax office should raise an immediate red flag. So that's actually a good point.
Yeah. Peter, they're also getting crafty, aren't they? I mean, it used to pop up with overseas or something like that on your mobile phone, but now they're coming through what actually look like legitimate numbers, and they're marked Australia.
That's right, and this comes back to my point about these what I call enablers that basically sell a block of numbers that can be used for telemarketing purposes or what do they call it, rotary dialing or something. I think they're people that need to be called to account at some point. Hopefully that will happen. The TIO Ombudsman might be able to do something about that eventually, but never mind.
We hope so. Peter, I've got to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back. And I've had a couple of messages. So we've got a little bit of homework for you to do for next month, if you can.
Oh, terrific.
See ya.
Tell me, find a man
Talk to our private investigator, Peter, from Absolute Facts. Peter, the audience have got a lot of faith in you to actually get the absolute facts. And I've had three texts, and I'll put them all together, and because they're all sort of coming at the same thing. They were wondering, and we don't expect you to spend a lot of time on it because we can't ask you to put a lot of time into this, but they want to know if there's any stats available as to the age group of some of these. I mean, I'm tipping, and this is, I don't like guessing because I'm tipping that the older ones, romance will be the biggest scam. I'm saying the investments would be middle age and the payment scams are going to be more in the younger age group. Is it possible to find that out, Peter?
I'll have a go at it. Yeah, I think obviously. We've got our thoughts, and we'll see whether we're right or not, or whether I can actually find any evidence of age groups of that sort of thing. So look, you've really kicked a hornet's nest on this one, to say the least. And Alan, I'll be honest with you, I've got another dozen things here. I've printed out about another six or seven, and I've got another six or seven that I didn't even bother printing because I realised that we probably run out of time. So it's obviously a major discussion topic at the moment.
Well, Peter, we've still got a bit of time, so just keep
going. I've got some more to continue on with, obviously. So
keep going. Yep.
I saw a Crime Stoppers Victoria put up a post, which I think I actually shared on my Facebook page as well. They're saying, did you know email was the top contact method for a scam in Victoria in 2025?
Emails,
yes, which surprised me a little bit after we'd been talking about all these telephone calls and everything. And getting back onto telephone calls then, I've printed out something that reads, Fresh Phone Scam Alert. Authorities have issued another warning as Australians are targeted in a fresh wave of mobile phone fraud. Scammers can try to access bank accounts, subscription services and MyGov once they have control over your phone number. The Australian Communications and Media Authority has warned that this is happening. Signs to look out for include unexpected alerts about changes to your mobile account, unsolicited verification requests and account login attempts or password resets you did not initiate. So keep an eye out for that one. That's quite a recent one from what I understand. So,
well, Peter, more and more people are putting Tap and Pay on their phones.
Yes.
And now a lot of people are putting their licences on their phones. Well,
yes.
If anybody can tap into your phone, how's that ever going to work?
Yeah, and of course, my gov a couple of years ago had a major issue, didn't they? So they basically got compromised and everyone had to redo. And then all of a sudden you need to have a driver's license don't count it as 100 points anymore, and you need a passport. But if you don't have a passport, it's very difficult to get a passport without an old passport, if you understand what I'm saying.
People are just putting too much information in the one place on their phone, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And of course, then you've got people that are standing next to you with a scanning device in their pocket. And I see one of the things that are selling is the Faraday cages for your phone now to stop people being able to basically log into your read off your phone as you're at a restaurant or out in public, basically at a shopping centre or whatever. So, people have got to go to the extent now of getting Faraday type cages or pouches for their phones,
because they can just walk past you and scan stuff out of your phone, can't they?
Basically, scan you. Yeah, exactly, and scan your phone. And once they get into your phone, then they can copy and download, offload everything that's on your phone. So, like clone the phone, basically. So all your passwords and logins and things like that are all then passed across.
And I see Vic Rhodes now are saying that you can even put, apart from your license, you can put your registration stuff on your phone as well.
Yes, you can do that. You can do your registration. I know a lot of people are using their digital licenses now. In fact, I think, isn't it becoming mandatory in time or something? I'm not sure.
I wouldn't be surprised, but the unfortunate part is that opens it up to scammers, doesn't it?
Oh, well, I'll just be able to create fake digital licenses just as they can create fake physical licenses now anyway. So that's a major issue in itself. So they haven't solved the problem, probably never will. And then that comes back to all this, second identifier or second authority, which is a pain in the butt having to do it. But I guess at the end of the day, that's one way of slowing things down, by having to have a code texted to your phone, and you have to put the code in to be able to proceed on certain things, whether it's banking or whatever it might be. So second factor, what do they call it? Second factor authentication, I think it's called. So yeah, so look, there's plenty out there. You've certainly, I've got a folder full of things that I've picked up on only since you mentioned it a month ago, and I sort of started paying attention to what sort of articles and social media type posts came up. It's an absolute minefield. So I probably won't start on any more, Alan, because they'll probably take more than 5 minutes or so to get through.
Yep.
But we certainly, we've only really scratched the surface, unfortunately. That's probably the essence.
And the money that you're talking about is big money. I mean, you start talking billions of dollars. You're not talking millions.
Well, the thing that interests me, of course, that came out of that was it was $3.1 billion in 2023, and it's actually $2 billion in 2025. So I guess that's a good direction of shrinkage, that it's 50% less, but it's still a hell of a big number, isn't it? So, and of course, they get more and more sophisticated, and they change tack immediately. And some of the things that I immediately thought of when we talked about scams, they're probably less prevalent now. It's newer things that are coming in, like the ATO sort of stuff and things like that. So it's definitely, people just have to be so wary. That's the bottom line.
Oh, absolutely. And the trouble is, they're getting very crafty. I mean, some of the old scams, now you look back and laugh and you think, well, I wonder why anyone got caught on them. But, well, I heard of a case that where a person sold their house, they put the $650,000 in the trust account illegal people, and they got an email to say it's time for settlement. They didn't bother to check it out, and somebody had cloned or had got into the legal people's thing, and they paid the $650,000 out. Now you'll never get that back.
No, that's right. Yeah, and obviously there's big chunks and little chunks that you can be, probably the CityLink and eTag type one. I think that's probably fallen by the wayside now. But that was bits and pieces, but it all added up, didn't it? People fell for it, and it was only small amounts, but I'm sure added up. If it wasn't lucrative, they wouldn't be doing it. So.
No, and of course, with the technology that these crooks get now, they can make 100 calls in an hour, can't they? I mean, it's just a case of if this one doesn't work, go to the next one, go to the next one. And they don't actually sit there and dial numbers anymore, do they?
No, well, I think a lot of them prank you too in the first case to see whether you're going to answer or not too. So there's a bit of that going on as well. So
Sorry, I don't want to talk over you, but we're starting to run out of time. Peter, the other thing is too, I've heard that to be very careful what you do say to these people, because they can record some of your information and use it, like where you say yes, no, they can use
it. Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing, that they do try to get you to say yes, and your name, obviously. So if they ask who are they talking to, I just say, who do you think you're talking to?
Yep.
Or something like that. You're absolutely right. They're trying to record you saying certain phrases, key phrases, I think there's a fair percentage of them that clearly their language that they're speaking is not, it's clear that English isn't their first language, which is probably a fair giveaway.
Peter, I'm fast running out of time. I do thank you for your time again. It's Peter from Absolute Facts. He gives us his time freely every month, so we do appreciate it, Peter, and I hope it's a good month for you. Tell me, has there been any more, just very quickly, on face recognition with stores? Is it back in or out, or where is it now?
I haven't seen any updates on that. I haven't seen any complaints either, so... No, I haven't. I'll keep an eye out on that. I'll put that down in as homework as well. Facial recog update. Yes, I haven't noticed anything recently, either positive or negative. So I'll do a refresh on that one.
No worries. All right, Peter. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to talking to you. It'll be June. Blimey.
Yes, exactly. It'll be ATO scam month.
Thanks, Peter. Talk to you later on.
Thank you, Alan.
See you, mate. Bye.